Welcome to the inaugural episode of the GSC Podcast, a new short-format audio feature of the International Journal of Gender, Science, and Technology. Our goal is to give readers a chance to hear authors highlight elements of their work literally in their own voice. I'm your host, Marcus Berdur, and our very first guest is Dr. Moira O'Keefe, an assistant professor of communication at Bellarmine University in Louisville, Kentucky. With research interests in cultural studies, including film and other visual media, she's currently engaged in studying how science, and indeed how the scientist archetype itself, is portrayed fictionally in television and cinema. Today we're talking about her recent paper, Lieutenant Uhura and the Drench Hypothesis, Diversity and the Representation of STEM Careers. Welcome to the GSD Podcast, Moira O'Keefe.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Now, considering how prominently it features in your paper, perhaps it would be best if you could briefly describe the Drench Hypothesis for those of our listeners who might not be familiar with it.
Sure. It's really a response to George Gerbner's idea of cultivation theory, which suggests that the stories that we see repeatedly in mass media become the myths of our time, the dominant stories that reflect the way that we expect the world to be. And Bradley Greenberg's Drench Hypothesis said that certain portrayals that don't fit into the mainstream normal view might make more of an impact because of they create a splash in the minds of the viewers.
Excellent. Yeah, that all holds together. Now, I was noticing from reading your paper that, you know, Bradley Greenberg, as you said, set forth the Drench Hypothesis in the late 80s and, you know, building on Gerbner's work, earlier work on cultivation theory. Now, your flagship example from your paper is Lieutenant Uhura, harking back another two decades to the original Star Trek series. Now, naturally, the impact of media portrayals on the desire of less represented groups to pursue STEM careers is very relevant today. But out of curiosity, was there a specific impetus that led you to write this paper now?
Well, in popular discourse, so much of the discussion about media influence is on the negative side, and I was interested just generally about the possibilities for inspiration coming from entertainment media. And specifically with regard to pursuing science careers or science education, it's a complicated question, but I think it could be one exciting avenue for thinking about inspiration in the sciences.
Excellent. Yeah, I found actually reading your papers, particularly the interview excerpts from the participants, was, as you say, inspiring. I remember there was actually an aerospace engineer who, speaking of her childhood, said that there were no pictures of me anywhere. There was no one I could really aspire to be in the media, so I really just had to come up with the images myself. This clearly highlights one failure mode for popular media, and I mean, some would say the default failure mode, which is a lack of any representation at all. But your study also flagged up another potentially more pernicious failing, which is the weak characterization of female scientists in popular media. I mean, you wrote that the study participants expressed a wish for a more balanced representation of science-focused women, rather than these, you know, stereotypical extremes of socially awkward, sometimes tomboyish characters or inappropriately sexualized ones that we sometimes see. Did you come away with an impression that your subset of the study group, that is the women and the ethnic minorities, felt that the benefit of seeing more STEM female role models and so on in popular media outweighs the pitfalls of these one-dimensional character depictions?
I do think that. I think that for most of the people that I spoke with, they felt that it was better to be represented than not represented. One of the male scientists that I talked to said that outright. I'd rather see myself than not see myself. People want to seek out those representations. And the issue of the hypersexualized scientist was actually a little bit complicated, because some of the women that I talked to really felt that it was important to show female scientists who are brainy and also very sexy. And so some of them really gravitated to those images, while other people felt that in some of the more extreme examples, it just went so far that it trivialized the character. So there were a variety of opinions on that particular issue.
Fair enough. Yeah, I concede that there'd be complexities in that not everyone's going to immediately gravitate to the exact same style of a role model. And yeah, obviously there's no reason we should, I think you made this point in your paper yourself, there's no reason that women shouldn't aspire to be very feminine and, you know, very competent as scientists, and there's no reason there should be an implied disconnect between these concepts. Now, you make obviously a very strong case for Lieutenant Uhura providing support for the Drench Hypothesis, but that example does transport us back to the 1960s. If, as you say, the gradually improving representation in recent years of women and minority populations in entertainment media leads to these role model characters making less of an individual splash, as it were. Does this mean that the competing hypotheses for the impact of media portrayals now begin to grow in importance?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think the historical perspective is important because Uhura came at a time, you know, such a specific moment, the civil rights movement and the space program all on people's minds. And so there was this incredible audience response to her. And I'm not sure what sort of set of circumstances we would need to kind of repeat that. I think it's possible, but I'm not sure how that would happen. But because I was talking to adults about their childhood influences, of course, Uhura came up a lot. What will the scientists in 20 years say about the portrayals that they're watching now? We'll have to wait and see. But I do think that that cultivation approach to media reminds us that it's the stories that we hear over and over again that do also make a big impact. So while each individual character in some of the ensemble shows that are popular now, the CSIs, the Law and Order SVU, House, these shows that feature many different kinds of scientists or people in STEM careers, the individual characters might make less of a splash, but the overall message about diversity in the sciences, I think, is still going to prove to be very important.
Excellent. And I couldn't agree more. I actually, on a related note, I was reading there was a study by Stephen Kirsch that looked at the impact of media on youth in particular. And of course, this is the age group that, as you say, you discussed in your paper, because you were asking about how, when they were in childhood or growing up, how their impressions of popular media representations influenced them. And he suggests that the Drench hypothesis, for instance, rises to prominence at particular developmental stages, for instance, identity formation in early adolescence, so that it might be particularly important for teenagers, where at other stages of youth development, it may be something like the drip-drip hypothesis that, predominates. But at any rate, I did want to say how much I enjoyed reading your paper, and I certainly encourage all of our listeners to do the same. I was going to ask, do you have any upcoming projects that we should be keeping an eye out for?
Well, I'm still very interested in the stereotypes of scientists, so I'm looking at some of the body of literature about the draw scientist studies, where people ask children to draw a picture of the scientist as they see them. So I'm doing some work with that. But the main project I guess I'm working on right now is I'm interested in some of the responses on Twitter and other social media to a recent campaign, the Science It's a Girl Thing video that was released in Europe a few months ago. And there was a big Twitter outcry. So I'm looking at that, which has been very interesting.
It's interesting you should mention that, actually. One of the video entries to that competition is one I created. It's strange, it's just funny coincidence. It was a kinetic typography one, again, promoting, as you say. It was a great initiative. I hope it has a good impact. I mean, there were about 39, 40 videos submitted. Is that your recollection?
I believe so. It was a very exciting project for certainly, and I know a lot of creative and inspirational ideas came out of that. So
definitely. Well, yes. Hopefully, that'll be something we can look forward to, and maybe we can get you back on a future episode of the podcast to give us an update on your work.
Great. Thank you so much.
At any rate, Maura, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the podcast, and I'm going to close it. And again, I apologize for the slight audio problems we were experiencing earlier.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. O'Keefe's paper can be found in the latest issue of the International Journal of Gender, Science, and Technology, Volume 5, Number 1. As a postscript, upon a second hearing, it became evident that listeners might be confused by the discussion Dr. O'Keefe and I had regarding last year's Science It's a Girl Thing campaign. So, just to clarify, the huge social media controversy she referred to erupted in response to a video released by the European Commission. This depicted a trio of female fashion models prancing about on stage for a minute, intercut with a confusing montage of vaguely science-themed imagery, and ending, and I kid you not, with a campaign logo that replaced the I in science with a tube of lipstick. Now, the public reaction to such a wrong-headed representation of women in science was unsurprisingly negative, but some good came out of it nonetheless, as it prompted the European Science Foundation to launch a follow-up initiative entitled Science, It's Your Thing. This included an open call for one-minute video submissions that would actually encourage girls to study science and pursue STEM careers. It was this latter competition for which Dr. O'Keefe and I both expressed our support. Although the European Commission has since pulled its video from the campaign website, it is still possible to view it online. As I record this, it comes up as the top result on YouTube for the search Science, It's a Girl Thing. I'll look for the predictably hot pink background. Somewhat disappointingly, the European Science Foundation chose to host all of its video competition entries on a free promo website that has since gone defunct. So listeners hoping to have a look at the many creative submissions there will have a slightly harder time locating them all. That said, a search on YouTube for Science, It's Your Thing does seem to turn most of them up. For the curious, the kinetic typography one I mentioned has a blue image still background. Thank you for listening, and please join us again.